Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, Senior Wealth Advisor and founder of the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And we are located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94 between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park. We're also in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building, which is just directly across from Wakey's. Everybody knows where Wakey's is. And we are very fortunate to be able to service our clients at Bonita Springs, Florida. So if you would like to put a face with a voice, you can go to ellenbecker.com. My guest today is attorney Margaret Cry, and she is with the law firm Skopelidis. Did I get that right?
Skopelidis.
And she is an attorney that practices in workers' compensation. And as a business owner myself, and as I'm looking at my clients' portfolios and looking at the companies that are within those portfolios, you know, everybody's worried about the tariffs. They're worried about how the impact is going to be on their business, on their portfolio. It's kind of one of these times of such uncertainty. And so I wanted to invite Margaret to come in and just give us some insights into some of the things that she is seeing within the industry. And so welcome to the show, Margaret.
Thank you, Karen. Happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about why you chose this field and what excites you about it.
Sure. I actually kind of fell into it. So I graduated from Marquette Law School in 2013. The job market was improving from the 2008 financial crisis, but still not great. No one was exactly handing out jobs to baby lawyers without any experience. And so I did some contract work for a little while. And then one of the first openings that appeared was in a workers' compensation law firm that was willing to train a new attorney. So that's how I landed in workers' compensation. And what appeals to me about it is it's a very specific, narrow area of the law. It's very state specific. And so it feels good to be an expert in one area. You know, there are some attorneys who are general practitioners. They dabble in a little of this and a little of that. And that is great. And that's one way to practice law. But being an expert in one defined area appeals to me a lot. I feel like I know what I'm doing.
What are the hurdles that businesses are really facing today that I think they've been there before, but they're so much larger right now? What are the things that business owners, as they're listening today, need to be aware of?
I think business owners, large self-insured employers, insurance companies, claims adjusters, all those types of people are looking for ways to help businesses cut costs. And one cost for businesses is workers' compensation claims and insurance. So what we do at Skopelidis in our workers' compensation practice is try to help employers keep those costs down. So what I'm here to talk about today is some tips that can help employers, insurance companies, claims adjusters to keep those workers' compensation claims low. Once there is a claim, keep the costs down as much as possible because it's inevitable. If you have a big manufacturing plant with 1,000 employees, claims are going to happen. And you can't control the tariffs. You can't control a lot of what else is going on in the economic climate nowadays. But you do have a little bit of control over your workers' compensation claims.
One of the things you said to me is that Wisconsin is considered a grand bargain.
What does that mean? And why do you say that?
That's right. So every state is allowed to make their own rules with workers' compensation claims. So way back in, I think it was 1911, Wisconsin and came up with this workers' compensation plan. So, you know, if you're in a personal automobile accident, you can sue the other driver. And there are claims like pain and suffering and all these other claims that can come in litigation, and you can maybe make millions of dollars off of that claim. Workers' compensation is limited, but it's more employee-friendly than it would than something like a personal injury case or a tort claim or a contracts claim. So it's limited in the monetary award that you can win if you win your case. There are set statutory limits to permanent partial disability, temporary total disability, all these kind of specific items. So the worker gave up a little bit because the worker can't sue for pain and suffering and get these million-dollar verdicts. However, the worker receives the bargain of they almost have the benefit of the doubt. It's a no-fault system. So if you have a pre-existing injury, let's say you've had a bad knee forever and ever, and then you're lifting something at work and you hurt your knee more and you need surgery, yes, you had that pre-existing injury, but the straw that broke the camel's back happened at work, so work comp's going to pay for it.
What is the impact when businesses have companies in several states? How do they track that? I mean, it must be very complicated.
It is very complicated. So that's something that Skopelidis can certainly help with. We have the main headquarters is in Indianapolis, but there are offices in about 10 different states. And we work with attorneys in other offices. Insurance companies are very accustomed to this. They insure employers with locations in many different states. But you're exactly right. It is complicated. We have to get involved and say, where did the accident happen? Where is the employer domiciled? There are many different things to look at. And something that an employee looks at when they get injured, if they so, for example, Skopelidis, the industry that they are most prominent in is the transportation industry. We deal with a lot of truck drivers. And so if an injured truck driver gets an attorney, a smart attorney would say, where are they most going to benefit if we file a claim? And because sometimes they can have the right to file in multiple different states. You can't get benefits in multiple mm-hmm. states. They would offset each other. But Wisconsin is pretty employee friendly. So it would be pretty common that claims would be filed in Wisconsin.
What are some of the things that an employer such as myself should be looking at as we're putting these benefits and putting things in place? What are the steps that and when should an employer be looking at this whole process and what they're, if they have an injury with an employee, what they have to do? Is this something that should be on the very forefront, or do they wait until something happens?
Definitely don't wait until something happens. Excellent leading question. That's what an attorney would call a leading question. I love it. So something that we really like to emphasize with our clients is implementing a solid safety culture. And that can be, if you're on a manufacturing floor, it looks very different than an office building. But here at your beautiful office building in Pewaukee, this is a big building. Office workers get hurt too. You'd be surprised at the injuries that can happen. So really encouraging safe practices, whether that is on a manufacturing floor, good ergonomics, taking your time, making sure there are no obstacles, preventing injuries is obviously ideal for employers to keep costs down. Discouraging unsafe practices is really important. A lot of times we think about those big distribution warehouses that we see just south of us. Those workers can often be incentivized to work faster. The more packages you get off the line, you know, the more is going out of the warehouse, the more money the employer is making. But we would really discourage employers from emphasizing speed over safety. Those repetition injuries from someone working on a factory
line. You get
bored,
you lose track.
Exactly. So you definitely want to institute safe practices and have very clear reporting practices. So when you're onboarding a new employee, you would tell them, here's who you tell. when you have an injury and tell them right away. We don't really want to hear a month later, you know, I think I hurt my back a month ago. I don't remember exactly what date it was, because that makes the investigation more complicated and that raises your costs. If it's a complicated investigation, you're going to pay me to go through this employee's medical records and find out if they have pre-existing back problems or whatever. Whereas if they report it right away, it's very clear, yep, this happened on January 6th at 10 a.m. You can look at the security footage and say, yep, I see you picked that up and you hurt your back. We're going to pay it. No questions asked. So that can, early reporting can definitely keep an employer's costs down.
On that same subject of employees, it's really good to know that if something happens, you're going to be able to get this workers' compensation. But nobody wants to get hurt. Nobody wants to have to be not working. What other tips do you have for an employee to, for their safety and for them to be aware? Or what if they see something as an employer is asking them to do too many things? Is there something an employee can do?
Definitely. They should always talk to their HR department. If they are being asked to do something that is unsafe or something that is beyond their restrictions, let's say they have a lifting restriction, I'm not supposed to lift more than 50 pounds, then they're being asked to, they should talk to HR and present those restrictions and say, look, this isn't safe. So yes, absolutely advocate for yourself, look out for yourself.
Thank you. My guest today is Margaret Cry, and she is an attorney. We are here talking about workers' compensation, and both for the employee and as well as for the business owner. With that, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, the Senior Wealth Advisor and founder of the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest today is Margaret Cry, and she is with the law firm Scopelitis, right downtown in Milwaukee. Actually, it's kitty corner from the City Hall. And if you would like to contact her, grab your pencil, because I will be giving out her phone number. And if you have any issues that or clarity that you would like to get around workers' compensation and some of the other issues that are associated with that. You know, in the earlier in our talk, we were talking about employees that might be injured and be in a good position for workers' compensation. What happens? I mean, how does that actually unfold?
It can be complicated, but one of the primary things that we like to help our clients focus on is getting an employee back to work. That is going to save the employer money in the long term, and it's going to benefit the employee. Everyone knows if you've ever had a long-term sickness, if you were down with the flu for a week and you missed work, you just start to feel bad when you get back. It's hard to get back into your routine. It kind of prolongs the healing if you are not participating in the world as you usually would. So something that we like to ask our clients if they have the ability to do is offer light duty work if someone has a lifting restriction. So we see lots of injuries when people aren't able to use one arm if they've had a rotator cuff repair, or aren't able to lift on the manufacturing floor if they have a back injury. There could be work elsewhere that's not typical, maybe paperwork, data entry, something in the mailroom within the employer that the employee can do just to not be laying at home prolonging their recovery. I think it's really helpful.
Well, depression sets in.
Exactly. From a mental standpoint, yes. Getting back out there in the world. There are definitely some employees that can't offer light duty work. Bus drivers, truck drivers, sometimes they don't have anything that they can do. So there are some companies that actually contract with employers to offer light duty work that's within restrictions. And it's often almost like a volunteer position at maybe a thrift store or a food pantry. So working shifts that are within their restrictions, maybe they have a restriction that they can only work 4 hours at a time and they need to be seated. So a lot of employers couldn't accommodate that within their own walls, but maybe at a thrift shop, they could be sitting at a cash register checking out paid clients. And so they earn some wages during that time, but also it's kind of the mental health aspect mm-hmm. of it that to keep them out in the world. So if they are earning less than their full wage, they are entitled to partial disability benefits during that time. So we really do encourage Once an employee can get back to work in some form, if it's not their full duty, at least something is better than nothing. So that return to work seems very important for getting employees back to their full working potential.
What are some of the things that employers' compensation would say no to? I mean, I've heard people say, well, they won't pay, or what is that about? I mean, how does that come about?
Well, so obviously, if someone wasn't actually injured at work, an employer wouldn't want to pay for that. Why would you? It's not your responsibility. So that's one important thing that we also like to advise our clients to do is know your employees, whether it's, you know, obviously places like you have a lot of employees. You can't know how many children and what hobbies every single one of your employees does. But hopefully everyone has a manager who knows a little bit about it. So if Susie comes in on a Monday morning and says, oh, I hurt my back last Friday and I think I need surgery for it, but her manager's Facebook friends with her and saw that she was on a long motorcycle ride the weekend before and spun out and had an injury, you would say, actually, I think you might have hurt your back in a motorcycle injury, not at work. So it's really just, it's about keeping costs down. Employers don't want to pay for injuries that they're not responsible for. But of course, employers want to pay for injuries that they are responsible for. And that's part of the Wisconsin workers' compensation system. If you're injured at work or either like a one-time accident where it's obvious, yeah, I, you know, broke my arm when I fell on the shop floor, or I had a weak rotator cuff already, but lifting this thing over and over again made it even worse. So that would be workers' compensation. Or there's another thing called occupational injuries. So if it's just over time doing the same repetitive tasks, yes. So those employers are responsible for that.
Okay, so here are some stories that you hear occasionally that somebody is getting workers' compensation and for a back injury, but they see them out playing pickleball.
Yes, those are the fun ones. Those are the fun ones for us attorneys. So honestly, the vast majority of cases we handle are the employee's doctor says they're this level of injured. Our independent doctor says they're this level of injured. Let's fight about it. You know, it's what we do. It's what we're paid for. We're trying to keep our clients' costs down. The really fun ones are when an employee's not really injured at all and just trying to milk the system. Truly, those don't come up that often. Yeah. There is not this rampant fraud where there's thousands of employees working the system. But it definitely occasionally happens. And when it does, oh my gosh, is it fun? Surveillance videos that we have of people. So, and even like where people know they're being taped. So on a shop floor one time, it was like manufacturing plant. They had cameras. The employees all know there's cameras on the shop floors. But someone pumped hand sanitizer and tested it with his foot to make himself slip and then did the slow roll and then rolled and writhed on the ground and was like, help, help. And so someone came over and helped him. I was like, oh my gosh, no, you fell. But the whole thing is on video, which is just absurd. And again, those are rare, but when they do happen, very entertaining.
Oh my gosh. So we're talking now again then about things like surveillance cameras and things. Are those things that employers in some situations should actually have?
Yes, it depends on the nature of the business. So here at Ellenbecker, it would be extremely strange if you had cameras in people's offices while they're sitting at their desks having confidential phone calls with your clients. So you certainly wouldn't do that. But those instances like manufacturing floors, warehouses, those really, really big open spaces where it's just helpful to have that documentation of anything going on. I think employers would do it for theft purposes, for safety purposes. There are a number of reasons why employers might want cameras. Drive cams are very helpful. All like bus drivers, truck drivers, those are always monitoring what's going on around them. If there's an accident, it's date and time stamped so we know exactly what happened.
You know, that is so fascinating because several years ago, wasn't an accident, and it was my fault. It was right here in Milwaukee in Capitol Drive where they said exit only, and I didn't see the exit only, and I just like moved over, and I moved over into a semi truck.
Yep.
And the man that was amazing, and he came back and he said, "Oh my God, you're okay. I didn't think you'd be okay." But he had cameras on all sides, right, front, back, and could see the whole thing of what I did. And I did not know that, but that was amazing.
Yes, it's extremely helpful. And I'm glad you were okay in that accident.
I am glad I was okay too, because it was really awful.
Right.
But I had not one bruise, and it was just amazing. But he said, "We got cameras," and it was amazing.
Yep. So you can see how it's helpful in those situations.
Very helpful. I knew it was my fault.
Right.
But I could see how somebody easily could say, "You hit me," or something.
Exactly.
So that was really good. We're just coming up to the end of our segment. And so when we come back, let's again talk about when that claim happens and what are the first steps to doing that, and some of the things that, how do employers know to ask the right questions? And is that where you step in, or does an insurance company step in? So let's get a little bit deeper dive into some of that. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is attorney Margaret Cry, and she is with Scopolitis Law Firm, which is right downtown, and she is available if you have any questions. And Margaret, I guess I need to ask, are you really working with the employer, or are you working with the employee? I was going to give out the number. Who do you want to call you?
Yes, we are working with employers, okay, and with insurance companies and third-party administrators. So most of our clients at Scopolitis are employers who are large enough that they're pretty involved in the claim. But the kind of what happens when a work injury or an alleged work injury happens is that employee would report the injury to whoever they're supposed to at their office, and then they would call their insurer. So insurers have different rules kind of depending on the size of the company. The bigger the employer, the more say they tend to have in how their claim is handled. So they don't necessarily call us right away. Oftentimes, if an injury is kind of cut and dry, yes, of course, this happened at work, of course, we're going to pay benefits, then we don't need to get involved. Where we get involved is when there's some question on whether an injury happened, maybe healing is dragging on longer than we would have anticipated. And then, of course, if someone files an application for hearing saying if their benefits were denied and they file an application for hearing, we would get involved. So the insurance carrier and the employer work together at the initial stage of the claim. And then they decide, if they decide, hey, we need to get an attorney involved, that's when they call us at Scopolitis. And again, that can be any number of reasons why. If they just know this person maybe had several work injuries in the past and they just see it going down a bad path, they want to get us involved sooner than later, again, to save money. Because if you're playing catch up, sometimes people treat for years and years, and then we're trying to read these years worth of medical records, and it's costly for employers. So the sooner we get involved, sometimes the easier it can be.
It's a real impact on the employer because they now have to get another person to do that job and hold that job open. Is that how it works?
Exactly. They're not responsible to hold the job open for all time, but within a reasonable period of time. So let's say it's a, you know, massive manufacturing firm, no problem. You can slot someone else in there. But if you're like a 10-person company and someone was doing this job and they're going to be out for 6 months, that's not reasonable. You need, for business continuity reasons, to have someone doing that job. So, no, it depends on the situation, but it's not the case that you have to keep the job open indefinitely until someone can come back to work.
If someone can't come back to work, does the compensation continue to pay?
So it depends on the situation. If someone is injured to the point where they can never return to their prior job,
they don't necessarily get benefits for the duration of their life, depending on the injury. So there are two different classifications of injury. They call it scheduled and unscheduled. So scheduled is stuff like your limbs, knees, anything that's not your torso and head. And those are all scheduled injury. You're not entitled to what's called loss of earning capacity benefits for those types of injuries. If you have an injury to your torso or your head, your back, you need a lumbar spine surgery, that's called an unscheduled injury. And if you are not able to return to your time of injury employer making nearly as much as you were at the time of your injury, then you can be entitled to loss of earning capacity benefits for the rest of your life. So that's 2/3 of your average weekly wage. So that's a significant cost to employers. So yes, it depends on the type of injury and what they are able to do when they return. There are plenty of times when people have lumbar or cervical thoracic spine surgery and they can go back to their job, whatever it was, and it's fine. You know, people do heal well and can do everything they were doing before. But there are certainly situations where they have lifting restrictions. Let's say you worked on a warehouse floor and now you can never lift more than 10 pounds again for the rest of your life. Then, yes, if they can't get another job, then, yes, they are entitled to some compensation.
That is very impactful on a company.
Absolutely. Yes. And of course, this is all insured, but the employers we work with are largely self-insured up to, a certain dollar amount. So, a lot of times it is coming out of the employer's pocket.
You know, the type of business we're in, we don't really have to worry too much about our employees getting injured, stressed out.
Exactly.
But not necessarily injured. But I'm wondering, for me, I always feel that it's really important that I have really strong relationships with banks and attorneys and different things in advance of them me needing them. Is it important for a corporation, a company, to have a relationship built with a firm like yours prior to something happening? Does that make a big difference? Because it's sort of like having to jump in and find an attorney when something happens. I could see being a real difficulty. First of all, it's just like going to see a doctor for the first time. It takes months to get in to see them. Is this an important feature? And what significantly makes you different? It's just like us. There's 100 different financial firms out there. Why should people come to us? Why should people come to you?
Absolutely. We think it's very advantageous to have a relationship with us on an ongoing basis. We take what we call free advice calls all the time. So employers that we have a relationship with, they will call us up on the phone and say, hey, can I just run this by you? I have this guy. He's saying this happened. What are your thoughts? And so when we have that relationship, we're happy to take those kinds of calls. And that can definitely keep employers' costs down because they just know right off the bat, okay, I have a safe denial for this. You don't want a bad faith penalty for denying a workers' compensation claim. That's bad for your business's reputation as well as your bottom line. So we certainly advise clients on when they are in the clear from any potential bad faith claims. So if you have someone like Scopolitis that you can call, we can help you with your workers' compensation claims that are actually in litigation. We can help you with questions to avoid litigation, which, of course, everyone knows litigation is costly. You're trying to avoid that most of the time. The other benefit about Scopolitis is that we do everything related to specifically the transportation industry. So it's good to have everything in one place so they can handle your accident litigation, your mergers, your contract questions, regulatory business, having it all in one place, you know, part of the Scopolitis family is definitely a benefit to employers.
Can you speak a little bit to the insurance that you were talking about that corporations are relying on?
Yes. So it's mandatory in Wisconsin that everyone has workers' compensation insurance. You have workers' compensation insurance. You probably don't know many details about it because I bet you don't have to use it very often. Although there are some wild stories about office injuries that I can entertain you with. So, yes, employers
pay their premiums and, of course, hope that they never have to use it. But if they do have to use it, it's just like if you were in a car accident for your personal auto insurance, you call the insurance carrier and say, hey, I was in an accident. Now what? And then they will take you through the next steps because they're the ones cutting the checks in the interim. The employer might end up paying for it in the long run, depending on their policy. But yes, it works similar to your personal auto insurance.
Do you work directly with the insurance companies?
We do, yes. So it's, again, mostly at Scopelitis, it's the employers who are calling the shots because we work with pretty large employers. But we also have several insurance companies that work for companies that aren't necessarily big enough to call the shots themselves. So some of those big insurance companies or third-party administrators that administer the insurance policies work with us, and we have kind of one-off cases that, you know, we have those big employers who we have 4, 5, 6 cases at any given time with the same employer. But smaller employers, of course, it's just not that common to have injuries. So they would defer to their insurance carrier and say, hey, who do you work with? And the insurance carrier says, oh, we work with Scopelitis in Wisconsin. So they would refer the case to us.
Oh, that's good. My guest today is Margaret Cry, and she is with Scopelitis Law Firm. And I love the name, actually. And, you know, it's one of those things that's memorable.
Yeah, it's technically Scopelitis, Garvin, Light, Hansen, and Fury.
There
it's
you go.
It's one of those firms with many names. But yes, we tend to shorten it to Scopelitis. It's a little easier to say.
And if they would like to give you a call, if they have questions, they could do that at 414-219-8524.
Correct.
Again, that's 414-219-8524. And with that, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, Senior Wealth Advisor and founder of the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And my guest today is Margaret Cry, and she is with Scopelitis Law Firm right downtown in Milwaukee. And it's just kitty corner from the City Hall. And we've been talking about workers' compensation and some of the things that happen. And Margaret, it'd be great if you could give us some stories. You said you could make us laugh. We can always use a good laugh.
Yes.
But the other thing is that I know myself that we develop a really close relationship with all of our employees, and our employees have close relationships. If something happens to an employee, everybody kind of knows about it, and everybody's like, how is it being handled? And if it isn't handled properly, it has a really negative impact on a business. Are there things that business owners can do to talk about if an injury happens, or how can they have a positive impact on their employees so other employees feel safe and think, well, what if it happens to me?
Definitely. I think that's super important for employers to keep in mind when injuries happen, and they happen in any setting. You want to maintain a good relationship with your employee. You hired the employee because you thought they were a good person and they would do a good job for you. So you're not looking to get them out or deny their claim or keep the money in your own pocket and not give it to them. So communication is definitely key. So if an employee is represented by an attorney for their workers' compensation claim, we as lawyers on representing the employer are not allowed to talk to that employee directly, but you as their employer are welcome to talk to them and should talk to them. You should be checking in with them. So whether if you have an HR department that does that, some very large employers have a specific work comp department. Some employers have a safety person, and it would be great to keep checking in. Let's say they had a shoulder replacement surgery. Every couple weeks, you know, they're going to be out for a couple months. They can't come back to work. Every couple weeks, check in, whether it's email, text, call, hey, how you doing? How's the recovery going? Just want to let you know we're still thinking about you. Because a lot of times when the disputes get nasty is if an employee feels like their employer doesn't care or is out to get them. And we, as just a human being, you can imagine if you worked 15 years at a company and then got injured and were out for 2 months and no one asked how you were,
you would feel terrible. Why would you want to go back there? You might say, you know what, I was only a couple years from retirement anyway. I'm going to milk this for all it's worth and see if I can get a little more money and just cut out early. So it would really keep costs down, making those simple phone calls or emails or text messages. Again, not the attorney. We can't talk to a represented employee, but you as the employer or their manager or someone within the business, just checking in and letting them know that you care can be very beneficial.
And I would guess if something could be changed based on the accident that occurred, making that well known that they're doing it, they're going to alter whatever that was happening.
Absolutely. And employee morale in general, let's say in an office environment, something does happen. Someone's, you know, chair breaks and they hurt their back or something like that. Wouldn't other employees want to know that it's not going to happen to them? So it's very important to your other employees how you treat that injured worker, because employees talk.
Yes.
Office gossip, that water cooler gossip is a real thing. So letting them know that you're doing everything you can and not having anything be secretive is probably beneficial too.
When you're looking at some of these large companies, how different is it in a small company? Is it the same?
Large companies just have more moving parts. So if you compare, you know, an office building where 20 workers are kind of just at a computer every day versus maybe a hospital system. In a hospital system, you have the doctors, nurses, but then you have the electricians, the food service, the custodial staff. There are just many different ways to get injured. It's just more complicated with a larger employer, more people involved, more layers. There's, again, often a safety department in addition to HR. But it doesn't really change anything on our side. We're happy to work with employers of all sizes. And at the end of the day, the law is the same, no matter the size of the employer.
You work a lot with the trucking and transportation area. What areas also do you, and is your whole firm focused on this?
So Scopolitis is a transportation-based law firm. So it started with regulatory practice, but now truly everything from A to Z within the transportation industry, Scopolitis does. And so their headquarters is in Indianapolis, which makes sense from a transportation perspective. And they have about 10 offices spread out throughout the country so that we can serve our clients throughout the entire country. And then, of course, within the workers' compensation practice, we have some clients that aren't heavy, that aren't directly transportation, but there's a transportation component to so many different businesses. You know, if it's a grocery warehouse, they've got trucks coming and going. We don't turn down clients if they're not specifically in the transportation industry. That just happens to be Scopolitis' focus as a whole. But bus companies, even hospitals, again, there are transportation components to it, but we will do everything else within the hospital too when it comes to workers' compensation claims. Garbage companies, school bus drivers, medical transport, truck drivers, all sorts of variations within the trucking industry.
You lose sight as to how big an industry that is.
It is. And yes, even, you know, I don't think we've had a train conductor injury yet, but there's trains, planes, boats, all those sorts of things. So Scopolitis, the firm as a whole, certainly covers all of those. And they have experts in all of those areas of transportation.
Can you bring it all together and the things that companies should be looking at and how you could step in and help them, even if there isn't a claim right now, building that relationship and having a better understanding of how they should act, how they should react, and then what the next steps are if there's an injury?
Definitely. And I think a lot of employers rely on their insurance carriers to kind of handle everything. But we would encourage you to get involved. You know your employees much better than the insurance carrier knows your employees. You know, you work with them on a daily basis. You're going to have the best answers and insight into what actually happened in the injury and how the recovery is going to go. So some of the things that we talked about to reemphasize are having a safety culture, really letting your employees know that you care and you care about them not getting injured, not just because of your bottom line, although, of course, that is implicated, but because you actually care about them and wanting to prevent injuries.
implementing return to work programs when possible. So if you are an employer that has very physically demanding jobs, think if there's anything on a temporary basis that someone could do just to get them back into the office, back to, you know, getting up at 7 or 8 in the morning and getting in the car and getting into an office. I think that's really good from a mental health standpoint to get them back to work. Remaining involved in the claim, not just handing it off to the insurer, is good for your employer-employee morale and relationship. They're going to know that you still care, and it's maybe going to get them back to work faster so that you're not paying benefits longer than you have to. And then, of course, getting your attorney involved if you have any questions at any point in the claim. If it's the instant an injury happens and you want to pick up the phone and call me at Scopolitis, happy to talk to you. If it's not until you get an application for hearing and you say, I don't know what to do with this, what do I do? This person was injured 3 years ago, help. Happy to help there too. So we're willing to step in at any point in the claim and can help you with some cost savings ideas, ways to keep the payments as low as necessary. Of course, we're never advocating for not paying an employee what they're owed, but just really doing that investigation and make sure that what you are paying is truly what you are supposed to be paying.
I would guess that there also would be benefit to having safety classes or within your company, having some kind of education around safety on a regular basis.
Definitely. And those big places where accidents are more likely to happen, like warehouses and manufacturing lines, I have seen frequent safety meetings. I mean, sometimes every morning there's a huddle up at 9 a.m. before the lights go on, and it's a huddle up. Okay, let's make sure nothing has changed. And the safety practices, whether it's steel-toed boots or hearing protection or brightly colored clothing or any of those things, are just, it's very important to have those implemented uniformly. Make sure everyone knows that they're implemented and the reason for it, that it's for their safety.
So what is the fun part of your job?
The fun part is having good relationships with employers and insurance carriers where they can just call us up on the phone and say, hey, if we've been working with them for years and we get to know them a little bit, that's really rewarding. And having those long-term relationships. And if they want to call a one-off and say, hey, I had this accident, I want to run it by you. And then if we never hear from them again on that one case, no problem. We're not upset that, oh, that didn't turn into a referral that we're going to bill them on. That's perfectly fine. The fun part is having a good relationship, long-term relationships with these employers and insurance carriers and third-party administrators that they know they can pick up the phone and call us with any questions.
And what does a positive outcome look like?
A positive outcome is honestly, it comes down to cost for the employer. So they want to pay the least amount possible. So if that's a full denial of a claim, if an employee is claiming an injury happened at work, but it didn't actually happen at work, then, you know, paying zero is obviously the ultimate goal. Oftentimes it's more of a, okay, you say it happened, I say it didn't happen, let's settle on a reasonable number. So a lot of what we do is negotiating settlements. So as paying the least amount that's reasonable for every case is our goal.
I would guess that you would find that companies want to be fair.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You don't have a company if you don't have employees. So you may as well have good ones and keep them happy.
Yes. So on a last note, give us a great story.
Okay. One office story from many, many years ago. You remember when the anthrax scare was happening?
Yes.
So this was actually in an office setting. A woman went to her office chair and saw white powder on it and thought that there had been anthrax introduced into the office, and she panicked and freaked out, and it turned into like a pretty significant mental injury claim. So they had to, they got called the attorney and said, what do I do about this? The attorney told them right away, okay, you got to preserve that chair, shrink wrap it, throw it in the closet. We're going to have to eventually get it tested. And they did. And the testing came back and it was powdered donut sugar. So it was not anthrax, and it was quite an overreaction, but they had to call the attorney to make sure they were doing everything right. They said, you know, what do? I had someone panic about an anthrax scare.
That is fascinating. But we have to end on the show, but I could have a whole bunch of questions on that.
You can call me anytime. Happy to answer them.
My guest today is attorney Margaret Cry, and she is with Skopelidis Law Firm, and you can give her a call at 414-219-8524. And I'm sitting right across from her, and she's got a great big smile and would be a wonderful person to introduce yourself to really have built that relationship. So, Margaret, thank you so much. And as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. And remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a great week. Bye-bye.